Now he advances to third. Here's the pitch, and it's hit high into the air, deep right field. Laureano drifting back onto the track. He's near the wall, and he makes the catch, and that's going to do it. Promising there for a while, but the Orioles erupt for four in the top of the 11th, and they win the opening game of this series by the final score of 10-6.
Another maddening conclusion for your Texas Rangers on this radio station. If you're a baseball diehard and the ratings for the Ranger game show that many of you are, you maybe slammed the remote in disgust like I did after the second home run that put the Orioles up after the Rangers failed again in a clutch situation with one out. And you missed Adolis Garcia trying to bring them back, but ultimately they lose to the Orioles. Game one in Arlington, 10-6.
That Couser home run was well-piped.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a well-struck baseball. So was Adolis's. But prior to that, you mentioned that was a moonshot.
I mean, it was... We saw so many different just like Baltimore had been quiet for like six innings. Texas wasn't hitting a ton of shots. And then all of a sudden we get into extras and Gunnar Henderson, Couser, like Adolis, these are all like 115 mile per hour like moon shots, they feel like. But it felt like, all right, we turned a corner. We got this 3-run homer. We're gonna win this in extras. And then you go right out there and you give up four more runs.
Chris Young, what do you say now about being buyers or sellers? He was asked that question on the G-Bag Nation.
You know, this year, unfortunately, we're two games under and we're not in the driver's seat. We're playing catch up right now. And while I believe in this team and I believe that we can turn it on and when we get healthy, these guys are very capable of being a very good team. The reality is that to this point in the season, we have not seen it with any level of consistency. And so what I'd like to see immediately is us play very good baseball for a consistent period of time. And there's still time left to do that. However, you know, we don't have in perpetuity, so to speak, to make these decisions. We don't get till the end of the season to decide whether we're a winning team or not. We have to make these decisions a little bit earlier in terms of what we're going to do to upgrade the team or maybe, you know, trade from some of these pieces that may be expiring contracts or whatever, you know, may not fit in the future. So we do have tough decisions ahead. And, you know, really, I always say it's the team will help us determine the fate and where we're going. And, you know, that's why this weekend was a really kind of a heartbreaker. But that said, there's still time to respond. We go on a tough road trip before the All-Star break, and that may determine in a lot of ways what direction we go.
Wow. A very realistic, good answer from Chris Young, kind of leaning back towards the other side. It now sounds like a very real possibility of selling.
I like what he says. I just have a hard time trusting that he's actually going to do that. Like, given everything we've seen about him, I have a hard time seeing him ever just going like, yep, we're going to sell. We're going to punt on this season. Even if they're, what are they? They're three back in the wild card right now or whatever they are. Like, that's what they should be really evaluating right now. They should be leaning towards we need to sell because they've shown for a year and a half at the plate they're not good enough. And so I'd be all for trying to figure things out, replenish some depth, get rid of some expiring guys. I just don't know that I'm ever going to believe that Chris Young will do that no matter what he says.
Well, he is not the ultimate boss.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
He's been a very compelling advocate for his cause, though.
He has, and I think the ownership has given him pretty strong leeway here to be able to do what he wants. With it, money aside.
Yeah, except like, spend. Yeah.
Yeah, like his decisions are basically like, you know, he's in charge of all the baseball stuff, obviously. I'm still kind of leaning in the let's figure out a way to make this thing postseason worthy.
Like, just I'm because ticked of off, the pitching. I'm ticked off that they're this close in the wild card even. I wish they were even further back.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
Easier.
And now, the update on Tyler Mahle from Jeff Wilson. Small strain of his rotator cuff. 2 more weeks of no throw. No long-term concern, but he will not be back before the trade deadline.
Right, and the problem with that is that, A, you now can't trade him. No one's trading for Tyler Mahle with a strained rotator cuff.
Nobody's giving you up a ton for him. Somebody may deal for him.
I mean, they might give you a bag of baseballs. Also, this puts you in a position where...
So right now, real quick, Mahle, Corbin, and maybe even lighter trade value has all dropped.
Well, Corbin,
month.
Yeah, Corbin is you know, we're seeing what's going on there. I mean, he's obviously coming back down to earth. You know, Leiter, I think there's still value with Leiter. He's young, and there's still an upside.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of value with Leiter. I think there's more value with Leiter than with Malley or Corbin, obviously. So, I mean, if you wanted to make a move with him, I think you still could pretty easily. Someone's going to bite on Jack Leiter.
Leiter's value has dropped from the perspective of a team that's trying to win right now and thinks he can, like, solidify the rotation.
He's not going to be a third in a playoff rotation.
If you wanted to do what Tampa did last year, where they start selling off pieces, you know, and it doesn't matter who you're trading. I mean, you could trade Jack Leiter to Milwaukee. You could trade him to, I mean, that's probably a bad example. You could trade him basically to any team. Someone is going to look at him and say, yeah, we could build for the now and tomorrow with Jack Leiter.
Yeah, there's value in both. It's the whole Nico Harrison, like, it's for now and it's for later. Like, you can do that with Leiter.
Where are they on the trade tiers?
So, yeah, the Athletic had broken things down and just looked at where does every team fall down in terms of whether they're going to be buyers or sellers or how they should approach the deadline. And you've got, like, tier one could be or should be aggressive buyers. That's the Tigers, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets, the Phillies. And then you've got different levels of this, like trending towards the buy side, everything like that. The Rangers fall into the same tier alongside the Cincinnati Reds and the Atlanta Braves as trending to the sell side. They say we've spent 3 months waiting for the Braves and Rangers to make a run. Their rosters have plenty of talent, including remnants of recent championships, but it just hasn't happened. Both have a positive run differential but a losing record, and now Chris Sale and Tyler Mahle are on the IL. Time is running out for a couple of preseason favorites to actually make a case for being buyers at the deadline. And when they talk about trade chips that the Rangers have positionally, they look at it and they say they can offload starting pitching, relief pitching, and they've got some outfielders that they can move on from. But in that, yeah, it's not like that's part of the frustration of how much they've struggled. You also don't feel like a lot of these guys have the same value that you would hope they would.
No, you would hope that but they don't. And, you know, you're going to have to dip into your farm system something fierce if you really want to go make some moves, if you want to bring guys in. Again, they could do a raise thing and start unloading some of their vets, like Adolis or whatever, but
I mean, they have to if they want to build.
If they want to build, but not for this year necessarily. You know, this is a future thing, and that's the big tug of war. It's going to be the tug of war in that building. You know, and I think Sean and I have been pretty much on the same side. It's like, you know, this pitching staff is solid. You know, this pitching staff is without question. If you were going to give grades to this to the various parts of this team, the pitching staff's been it's an A+. The starting rotation has been an A+ this year.
Yeah.
And that's that. You know what wins in October? We know it wins in October.
It's just very hard for me to let go of. Rangers Nation tweeted this. I'm trusting that he has this all updated. The Rangers are first in team earned run average with a 3.28, first in team fielding percentage with a 9.91, 29th in team batting average with a 2.26. You are wasting the best starting pitching and the best defense with some statistics showing that in Major League Baseball. Just very hard for me to let that go.
But I'm
approaching it.
Yeah, and it's literally just because the offense has to be this bad for you to even consider it. And that's what they've been. Yeah. I'll say, when we sit here and try to figure out value, let's say you're one of these contenders and you're up and coming and you're a fan of one of the other teams and you're going, we need pitching and bats. And if you just look at the Rangers roster as an outside fan, who do you look at and say, like, I want him? That you think they reasonably could trade? Because we don't think they'll trade DeGrom. Do you look at it and do you want, as a fan of another team, you're like, oh, yeah, Mahle, that'll really help us? Or are you like, that dude's not going to be that for us?
I'd want Mahle as a third or a fourth. There's two different wants. It's wanting for the future, Jack Leiter, Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter, wanting for my postseason run, and I'd be interested in Mahle. If this thing is not that serious with the rotator.
Yeah, but that, you know, I guess that there's your question. Like, you're going to trade for Tyler, for Mahle. I mean, you're another team. You're trying to make a playoff run. I can't imagine you give up anything of value for somebody with a strained rotator.
Are Nate and DeGrom off the table? Or you have, because if you say they're off the table, you have to tell me how you're going to be even more aggressive and more in next year.
DeGrom, I don't know how feasible it is. Nate shouldn't be. If you really want to sell, if you want to try and rebuild some stuff, Nate shouldn't, because Nate would be a big chip.
Nate would be a very big chip. He's got
bigger chip than Jake?
Yes, because I think there's...
Maybe. I mean, Jacob DeGrom right now
Jacob DeGrom's like, been so great.
Throwing 97, the numbers, almost no hitter.
I get it. I think the issue is that obviously there's concern with the history of guys off their second Tommy John and how long he can go. I think everybody in Ranger Kingdom is, with every single pitch, holding their breath. To this day.
Yeah.
I think guys they would actually entertain trading on this roster that they might be able to get something for right now. Not a huge return, but it'd be a Dolis and it'd be Jake Berger. Because teams are always want bats.
Choppy was out yesterday playing golf for charity with our boy Derek Collin. Mm-hmm. And you're also trying to be a golf spectator with our former friends at Live.
Yeah.
Were we not good enough to go back and do the show there this year?
I don't know.
Bobby ticked off, what's his face?
He invited the Ocho instead.
Henrik Stenson. he got Henrik Stenson all hot and bothered.
Yeah, he's calling Reap by the Ocho now because he's getting the credentials for
Obscure Sports.
WNBA.
That's good. That's very good. I got to hand it to you on that one.
Poor Reem is not even at work today because he's so depressed over the fantastic reaction yesterday over the 25 minutes of screaming.
So Liv was here over the weekend at Merido, and it's the second time they've gone there. And I heard some great things about it, and I experienced some terrible things about it. Mm-hmm. You want the great or the bad?
Oh, the bad.
The bad first? Okay. Friday, after the show, my guy Reed, ASU Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he hits me up and goes, hey, I got tickets. I got an extra ticket. You want to come? I'm like, yeah, absolutely, man. I'll be there. We went last year, but I didn't get to walk around as much as I wanted to because it didn't start till the afternoon. So I go there, and he's like, I'll meet you there at 11 o'clock. It's 11:05 shotgun. I'm like, okay, great. I leave here. I get up there at 10:30. I'm ready to go. I was like, I'm not going to be able to stay long. Got the kids. Got to get the kids. So I'm not going to be able to stay long, but I'm going to go, walk around a little bit, have some beers, then leave. I drive up to the course, and I start seeing signs for VIP parking here, which we didn't have. General parking, there's an arrow straight. And I think I'm on Beltline. I'm like, okay, let me go straight. And there's another sign like a half mile up the road. Straight. Keeps going. Just keep going. I keep driving like 2-3 miles. I'm like, where the hell is the parking lot? And I finally go to Google, and it says, you got to park at Standard Stadium. Which, if you remember that, that's when Valley Ranch had their when they had the tornado rip through or the supercell rip through. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys practiced there. That's where they held their practice for their OTAs and mini camps and stuff. And I'm like, that's not anywhere close to this. I look on the map and it says it's about a 20-minute shuttle ride that you have to take. And I'm like, I only an hour and a half here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to park, take a 20-minute shuttle ride, and then walk around for 45 minutes, and then get back onto a shuttle, wait 20 minutes, because they never come on time, and then get another 20-minute ride back. Guys, if you're going to have this tournament here, you got to come up with some better parking.
Where's the Saudi money for that? Why aren't you being just like, you
blown
know,
in.
Yeah, I mean, you should have had a chopper.
Build a garage, a temporary garage for everybody. That's what you got to do. You got a ton of places up there. Build a garage. But I was told from PGA Pro that this was that Bryson and Liv did more for junior golfers in DFW than anything the Nelson's ever done or the Colonial. First of all, it was a ton of kids there. They let the kids in free. The Nelson used to do that. This year, I was told they were charging $90 just to get in, regular ticket. And it was apparently incredible. It was a really good turnout. So that's good. Banner weekend for them. The crowd, I was told that was about what they get at the Nelson for the TPC, or when it was at the TPC in Las Colinas. So that was good. But the park, guys, you got to do something at the park.
NBA Youngboy ticket giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on. We go commercial free with the Expressway. We ask Reddit at 7:40, and that video game is back.
Oh, baby.
Kind of. It's the College Kegger, commercial free with concert tickets and Ask Reddit after this.